What's up, guys? Welcome back to the WPC. That's the weighted pod created by us. I'm Pierre Camus at Rotoballer, and with me is Nicholas Gott, also Rotoballer. What a coincidence. Nick, I know, I just imagined that. Hair update, week, was it 9, 10, however long it's been. I lost track a long time ago.
Many
Nick,
weeks.
looking pretty sharp there.
Oh yeah, looking sharp. This is fresh from my wife's hair salon, which is our bathroom. So it was her birthday. We got to go to a little drive-in thing, and she laid down the hair law that my hair helmet was not going to be acceptable for taking her out in public. So yeah, trimmed it up. I think it's looking pretty decent. I was very impressed with their skills. So yeah, I'm looking sharp and look more like a human these days. So that's nice.
I was digging the helmet, but I get how maybe that's not gonna go over too well with the wife. But man, you never have to pay for a haircut again now. You have at home service, so I'm kind of jealous there. I did not suffer a
Oh
bad
yeah,
haircut. I
that was.
just simply
He was
did
like, "We don't
not.
have to get haircuts anymore,
I really don't think we should ever. I mean, I think we're excused for the rest of our lives.
right?"
I basically just didn't feel like doing my hair today because I think it's a Sunday, so here goes the Marlins hat. That's it. It's not a really
Marlins.
bad, horribly gone wrong, like at home shave attempt, so don't worry. I'll be fine. The next week, it'll be longer than ever. All right, now that that's out of the way, baseball, still no official word on what's going to happen this year, but any day now, I think any day it's going to happen. So let's keep talking about how to prepare for your draft. Starting pitching is going to be the most important this year, trying to figure out who to target, especially it's starting pitchers. So we're going to dig back all the way back to last season. So Nick, lately you've been digging into Sierra, which I know probably most of our readers are familiar with. But maybe not everybody knows exactly, like, why do we focus on Sierra as opposed to, I know a lot of people are familiar with FIP or XFIP. And what is the value of Sierra versus just plain old ERA? Why is it so significant?
Yeah, so like you said, Sierra is one of many ERA evaluators we know of, FIP and XFIP, being the ones that most people know. And you go to Fangraphs, you'll see those, you'll see that Sierra next to it, and you may not always, you might not know exactly what it is, but it stands for Skills Interactive ERA. It's another ERA evaluator. It's my favorite one probably, but that's also it's hard to say favorite because I'm of the opinion that they all have their uses because they all look at different things. And the key is knowing which evaluator is good for what. And none of them are perfect, including Sierra. It's not a forward-looking projection. Like that's you can get confused on that just because it kind of makes you feel psychic occasionally. Sierra's pretty good at letting you know about what's coming in next year, as is XFIP. And that's the thing. They focus on different things, but they often reach the same conclusion, but not always. And Sierra does, although the advantage is slight, Sierra is slightly more predictive than XFIP as far as the next year's ERA goes. And the way it does that is so just starting with FIP and XFIP. So FIP is not very predictive of next year's ERA. FIP does a really good job of telling you the value of a performance that year, independent of defense. Sierra and XFIP speak more to the value of a pitcher's underlying skills, stuff, independent of defense. And like I said, they go about it in different ways. FIP, FIP, pretty simple. It takes the three true outcomes that a pitcher can control: strikeouts, walks, home runs. Divides it by the innings you pitch. You add the FIP constant. You got your FIP. XFIP does the same thing, except instead of just using raw home run totals, it uses league average home run fly ball rate. So you're not necessarily getting punished for home runs. You're getting punished is the wrong word, but you're getting it for fly balls. So you're going to get adjusted to the league average. So if you're running a crazy high home run per fly ball that's way above league average, it's not going to hurt you as much. What Sierra does is it looks at three of the rates that tend to be very sticky for a pitcher from year to year. Skills that stick in strikeout rate, walk rate, and ground ball rate. Fly ball rate as well, to a lesser extent. And what it does is, so with FIP and XFIP, a strikeout is worth a strikeout. A walk is worth a walk. And I already explained about the home runs and fly balls. What Sierra does is, and let me also just mention, like, go and read it yourself. Like, I'm copying off other people's math. Like, you can go to the Gloucester on FanGraphs. They have a really good breakdown on it there. I highly recommend, in that glossary at the bottom, they link to the original five article series that Matt Schwartz, one of the creators of Sierra, wrote when it first brought over to St. FanGraphs. He really gets into nitty gritty. If you like nerdy baseball stuff, it's a really great read. Just talks about how they came up with it, but also why Sierra is as strong as it is. But what it does, instead of just saying a strikeout is a strikeout, it gives, for example, more weight to strikeouts. High strikeout pitchers are going to have less contact overall. They're also going to have more weak contact when batters do make contact. So Sierra credits a pitcher with the tamping down run effects of a strikeout, but also gives more credit to pitchers that have a higher strikeout rate. Same thing with walks. Walks are bad, just like in FIP and XFIP, but walks aren't, it adjusts. A walk is not the same for every pitcher. A walk is going to hurt a high walk pitcher more than it's going to hurt a low walk pitcher, because there's going to be less, a high walk pitcher is going to put more runners on base. Therefore, another walk it captures the snowball effect of another walk is more likely to hurt you if you have more runners on base. A strikeout is going to help you more. So it captures that effect as well. And then on ground balls, it gives you more credit for ground balls. More ground balls you have, the lower your BABIP is going to have or going to be. And then going back to fly balls in comparison to FIP and XFIP, Sierra, fly ball doesn't hurt you as much in Sierra, because if you have a good Sierra, if you're a high strikeout pitcher, once again, you're getting more weak contact, less of your fly balls are going to go for home runs. So, like I said, this is all more complicated to look at. Like, the equations for FIP and XFIP are pretty straightforward. The equation for Sierra is not straightforward. There are a lot of coefficients. There are a lot of things to multiply by, a lot of squares. But basically, it is trying to capture what should the ERA of this pitcher that has this walk rate, this strikeout rate, and this ground ball rate be in a given year. And it's also nice because, unlike FIP and XFIP, it adjusts for park factors and just general run environment. FIP, there is a FIP and XFIP minus that cover that as well, but not nearly as widely used.
And you really don't need to get into all the details, like you said, the formulas, to understand, you know, how it works. Really, the takeaway is we need to understand some more detailed version of FIP, and, you know, just trust that it takes a lot of more things into account. Sierra, like you said, not meant to be predictive. It's not a projection of what a player necessarily is going to do. But it is pretty accurate what it does. So, I mean, I'm glad you said at the beginning, though, it's just one piece of the puzzle. And you guys probably know the reason why we do, you know, evaluators on Sierra and strikeout percentage and, you know, strand rate. And we really dig into each type of metric, because you can't just look at one thing and say that's it. You know, CRA is just one thing to look at. It's one metric, but it's not the end all be all. One thing I want to ask real quickly, because I know just recently StatCast came up with XERA. Right, we didn't have that before, and I think not that long ago, right, this offseason, Baseball Savant, it's available.
Yeah.
Do we pivot now to XERA because it's from StatCast? What's the major difference between XERA and CRA? And I know a lot of people kind of have that misconception that XStats, because it says expected stats, right? You think, well, that's projecting. This is what they're going to do. That's not exactly how it works, but just a, kind of a bottom line here. XERA versus Sierra, which one are you going with, or what's the difference?
So in terms of looking at skills, once again, it's going to be Sierra. So XERA is a lot more analogous to it's different than Sierra and XFIP. I've dug into it some. I've seen some Dan Richards at PitcherList recently did a really good breakdown on all the evaluators and ran all the super smart math correlations on everything. And as far as looking at next year's results, XERA is around where FIP is and still doesn't touch XFIP and Sierra. So yeah, like you said, it's a matter of all the tools in the tool belt. And if you want to do a quick and a dirty evaluation, yeah, I'm going to grab Sierra and say, he's going to regress or he's going to do better next year. But really these things are about, when I see a big difference between an ERA and a Sierra or an ERA and an XFIP, what all that is asking, it's just asking questions for me. It's why. Why is there that gap? Then you can drill down into, on Sierra, the key rates are going to be strikeout rate, walk rate, ground ball rate, fly ball rate to a lesser extent. But it lets you ask the question, why does Sierra not like this pitcher so much? Is it his K rate? Is it his walk rate? Is it his ground ball rate? And then from there you can go, it's this. What are his chances of improving this? How can he outperform? If you think that the ERA overachievers we're going to talk about, it's they overachieve according to your Sierra, but you can do that. Lots, like we look at that list of the biggest overachievers. Jacob DeGrom's on that list. His Sierra was 0.86 runs higher than his ERA. Who cares? Doesn't mean Jacob DeGrom his ERA is going to jump next year. Sierra doesn't like him as much because he ran like a 44-45% ground ball rate, and Sierra generally treats any ground ball rate below like 50%, all those pitchers are kind of in the same bucket. It's when you start getting up past 50% is when you're really going to start getting credited with Sierra. But DeGrom has a ridiculously consistent K rate that's really high and a really low walk rate. So he's probably always going to outperform his Sierra by some extent. So it's just about it's just another way to ask questions and to drill down and to say, this Sierra doesn't like this pitcher because of these reasons. What are the chances, what other skills are contributing to those reasons and can they change?
Yeah, let's compare that to the hitting side, home run versus fly ball rate. You say, well, the league average is this, or he outperformed by this. Okay, I don't know. Nelson Cruz has probably outperformed his home run fly ball rate for like 20 straight years, right? He's always going to do that, right? He's not going to regress to the league average because that's just how he is. So, when you see names like that, like you said, you just don't – let's get this clear. Don't fade Jacob DeGrom. Don't look at that list and say, all these guys are going to regress. That's not how it works, okay? But this is why you picked, right, out of all the tools. You said this is probably the most useful one. So you did, as always, you picked out the ones who you thought were worth highlighting and also took another shot at Mike Soroka, chance to pick on him. It's too easy at this point, right? No, but let's look at some of the key overachievers. So I'm going to show you all the whole list here. And don't be surprised if I tell you that this is available on Rotoball right now. So Sierra Overachievers Part 1. Uh-oh. That means Part 2 is coming. Cannot wait. So Part 2, you're going to pick out basically some more guys from this list and just go into more depth about them. Because, again, not everybody on this list is worth necessarily even worrying about, right? Just because they overachieved on their Sierra, they could overachieve again, or it's just not going to affect their draft stock. But then you're just picking out some main guys and going into the why, basically. Is that right?
Yeah. And you know, on this, on Part 1 here, the three pitchers I looked at with Greinke, Gray, and Soroka, they're not all, you know, I'm not buying in on any of them at their draft price. Like, I'm down on them in that way. But I understand the changes in Gray, and in Part 2, which will come out later, you know, I go over, you know, my boy Jack Flaherty. You know, I'm not going to say he's going to do worse. And I also talk about Frankie Montas, that I'm kind of in on him too, because I don't think the projections have, for one, we had a very small sample on him because of the suspension, but I a lot of his success was he started throwing a nasty split finger. And, you know, numbers maybe haven't caught up to that yet, just how good that pitch is when, you know, he throws an 87 mile per hour splitter, a 87 and 90 mile per hour slider, and 99 mile per hour. That's a nasty combo. So, yeah, it's not like not every guy. It's just like I'm fading this guy, I'm fading that guy. It's about questions. It's about why is this gap? Why is this gap so big? What are the chances they can outperform this number again?
Right. And that's, again, all great points. Guys, you know, Clevinger, Kershaw, I mean, you look at the front, it's funny because you see overachievers and in the top 10, these are all, you know, some of the best pitchers in baseball. Okay, just move on. Yeah. And don't worry about that. Then when you get to the kind of those bubble candidates, I guess Montes, a guy, you know, some people might forget about, like you said, because he missed half the season with suspension. Some people might be, you know, a little leery there. But, I mean, he showed real progress, a step forward. I mean, he was dominant early on, so there's a reason. Soroka, we'll just go past him. My boy Eddie Rodriguez, a little disappointed to see him. I'm gonna ask you before we get into those players that you did already dive into, because of course people can read about that on the article. I'm gonna ask you about a couple guys I'm interested in. For me, Rodriguez here, not a big difference. You can see the difference, of course, between ERA and Sierra here. But if Sierra's predicting 4.3. That's not too great. And his ADP, for what it is, I mean, we should be getting better there, right? And his K rate's good, but not great. His ground ball rate is pretty good. I mean, what are you feeling? Is Rodriguez overvalued then for where he's going? Because he's basically like a mid-rotation arm there. And we're kind of predicting he would take another step forward. I guess some people thought he would take a step forward last year. He kind of didn't. What's your gut take on him?
I think he's approximately priced right. Like I think we about know what he is at this point. Like you mentioned, like his strikeout rate's pretty good. His ground ball rate's pretty good. Both not exceptional, but above average. Walk rate is, you know, a little high. That's, you know, Sierra's not going to love that. What's he got? Like, again, 8.7 walk rate. Not going to love that, but he also pitches on a Boston team that is, you know, I assume is going to I know some people think they're going to take a step back. Obviously, when you don't have Mookie Betts, you're going to take some sort of step back. But I still think he's going to be in line for a fair amount of wins. He pitches a pretty good amount of innings. So yeah, he's one of those guys. Like if Rodriguez, I don't want Rodriguez to be my, you know, number two, but if he's my number three, like I'm okay with that. I don't think you can, he's one of those guys that I'm not going to expect a lot more out of. Like, you know, he ran up. Yes. Yeah, his Sierra is 4.31. His ERA was 3.81. Without looking at the page, if you're willing to bet that most of your projections have him around a 4 ERA. And that's, you know, 3.8, 3.9 ERA. Like that's kind of what I'm banking on out of Rodriguez, and I hope he gets a bunch of wins. I think I know what I'm, you know, no secret pitches have come to the news that he's working on a different mix. You know, 24-25% K rate. Yeah, I'll take that. He's not a guy I'm going to target in drafts, but it, you know, what's his ADP now? 133. I'm probably not going to go above that for him, but if it's around pick 140 and he's there, like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'll take that just because I think the floor is relatively high.
Yeah. With him, and he's a guy, I know last preseason was getting hyped up, especially local media. They were saying, you know, he's going to take a step forward. He's got nasty stuff. You know, he's going to become the ace of the staff, and it didn't really happen. And they, you know, made it seem like a lot of it for him was psychological. Like, you know, he already has the stuff to be a frontline starter. And, you know, he just has to, you know, not get rattled when, you know, there's runners on and things like that. And then the thing with me is you're talking about the wins. I almost worry about that more this year. Not that you ever want to forecast wins too much, but not just the offense, but you got to realize now that without Sale, without Price there, I mean, he's all of a sudden, he's like their main guy. He's going to be going against the other teams, you know, their best lineup most times, they're starting out series, their, you know, best opposing pitcher. I think the wins are going to be much harder to come by for him. So this just kind of, you know, puts the nail in the coffin. In fact, now I'm not saying I'm avoiding him. In fact, I think I actually drafted him in our latest mock draft. But if the price is right, yeah, he's fine. But I'm done expecting him to kind of step up and do more than he's done so far. Like you said, he kind of is what he is at this point. And Sierra is kind of telling us that, reinforcing it.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, like if he fall, like depending on my team construction and where I'm at with my pitching, I've kind of just the drafts I've done, like during the pandemic layoffs, I have, and actually really even before that, I've kind of went against the grain just because every draft I've been in, it's people have been going so heavy on pitchers so hard and so fast that I end up loading on hitters. So we get to the 130s, 140s, 150s at around, I'm usually start looking to scrap a, you know, pull a pitcher off scrap there. And when he's fell to me, that's been fine, but like, I'm not going to go out of the way for him. Like, that was a good point you brought up about, like, he's their ace. Like, he's going to be lining up against the other aces. Like, I'm pretty sure that Roster Resource has Colin McHugh penciled in as, like, Boston, or Nathan Eovaldi penciled in as Boston's number two right now. And they also, like, you know, Brandon Workman was really good last year. He gave up zero barrels. There is something to be said for that. But it's not like Boston's bullpen is a lockdown affair. So yeah, he's one, like, I think I know what I'm getting with him. I'm not going to expect more. And I don't think anyone should be expecting more than about what he's giving us.
Yeah. And then when you get to that point, like you said, you're in the 100s or, you know, a few rounds in and you've been waiting on starting pitcher because everyone's reaching and, you know, you say, oh, I can wait. That's when you go to the Sierra underachievers, which we'll talk about another time. So look at that list. These might be the guys that you don't want to overpay for. So back to the list. Let's go down. Zach Gallen seems to be one of the biggest overachievers here. 281 to 424. That's quite a big difference. Had a strong strikeout rate, but also a high walk rate. People are kind of all over the place on him. Either they're really, you know, sold that he's a strong, young, you know, up and coming pitcher. Or they think that he's just not going to make the rotation. I know we've kind of mentioned him before. And, you know, as actually somebody who clearly is a Marlins fan, kind of saw him coming up through the system. He wasn't one of their talked about prospects because he wasn't traded for, you know, Stanton or one of those big names. He was kind of coming through. Well, actually, didn't he come via St. Louis from your hood?
Yeah. 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 We had him for 2 years, 3 years. Yeah. Traded him at the end of 2017.
Right. So Alcantara was kind of the bigger name in that deal. And Gallen kind of just quietly crept through the system, but he dominated right before he got called up. And then did pretty good in his first taste, but Sierra isn't quite a fan. Kind of, where do you stand on this?
Yeah, he is. I don't own any Gallen just because there's always someone. You're always going to be drafting with someone that loves Zach Gallen. That's how it is. He's not going to fall. You know, everyone might not be lusting at him, but I promise you, you're going to be drafting with someone that likes that guy. He's very polarizing on that front. He's got a good pitch mix. He's got, you know, you said that he came up and he blew up in 2000. You know, he was off the radar, and then he had a 33% strikeout rate at AAA in what, 90 innings, and got called up. He had almost a 29% K rate in the big leagues. I still don't understand. Like, I'm not a Zach Gallen guy, but I still don't understand that trade that the Marlins made. Like, that's,
I don't understand I don't any really trade the Marlins trade made, period. So, I mean, that's, leave it there. Like, just assume it was to save money, and you'll be right 90% of the time.
Yeah, probably. Man, and, you know, he goes to Arizona. I definitely, you know, even with, you know, Arizona has the humidor now, so it's not like you, and you look at park factors, like Arizona has really, really changed. I don't think everyone has quite caught up to the fact of just how much the offense has been suppressed there. But man, like, he's young, he strikes a lot of people out, he doesn't get any ground balls, and he walks almost 11% of his batters. Like, that, it's pretty easy to figure out why Sierra was not a fan, but I'm not a Gallen guy, but if he can figure out his walk rate, he'll make big jumps. If he figures out his walk, like, there's nothing in his profile that suggests that there's a lot of, he doesn't have any great ground ball pitch. You know, he's in it. What, a 39% ground ball rate. I don't expect that dramatically to jump up. I think the K's are going to stick around. You know, it seems like he has, I like him. I think he can handle a large innings load. I think the K's are going to stick around, but that, I haven't seen a lot of, you know, inspiring things about him being able to cut that walk rate down dramatically. And until he does, he'll struggle, but he's also what, 20, 23, probably. There's a lot of young pitchers like that, and you know, and he's just, I'm not going to bet against Zach Gallen being a fantasy star in 2020 or 2021 or whatever, but I'm going to miss out on him this year if he does it in 2020, because I need to see something better than that walk rate before I'm going to buy in at the prices that he's getting. You know, what is his ADP, like, I don't know, 124. I'm not going to get him in the 120s. And honestly, every draft I've been in, he doesn't last that late. Like, he's getting taken closer to 100, and I'm definitely not going to take him around 100. I'm okay. I'm willing to miss out on those pitchers. Like, I also don't have a lot of Jesus Luzardo, because he's being taken inside the top 100. And there's not very many really young pitchers that immediately come in and blow the doors off. And at those draft prices, man, I'm going to pass now.
Yeah, we've talked about Luzardo a couple of weeks ago, you know, probably more than once. And it's true. I mean, you're assuming best case scenario for a return on investment and where he's being taken. So it's just not worth the risk, especially this year, yeah, in a shortened season, what we're assuming is going to happen. We're doing the opposite. In fact, I think that's what we talked about last week, is just at this point on, you know, and it's kind of reflected in your strategy, like you said, loading up on hitters instead of kind of volatile starting pitchers this year. I mean, that's the opposite approach. We're not taking guys like Gallen and Luzardo and, you know, so... Like you said, there's always somebody who has faith. Yeah. A couple more guys I want to talk about here. One name that's getting kind of a lot of hype is Aaron Civale from Cleveland. And man, that's quite a big difference. I think maybe the biggest one on the list. So interesting, because, I mean, I know he's a late round guy, right? Obviously not a high ADP here. But a guy who didn't strike out a lot of batters and is a big-time overachiever, what is it that people are seeing in him that is causing them to think that he's a breakout candidate?
Yeah, it's he doesn't walk a lot of people. He also doesn't get a lot of ground balls or strikeouts. You know, once again, that's, you know, Sierra's not going to like that very much. I liked him quite a bit this past season. I wrote about him a lot for Rotoballer just on weekly, like, streaming, and just because he was so good for ratio, like, his ratios down the stretch were really, really good. He was just running insane whips and running insane ERAs. And he was, you know, before I really got into off-season research, like, he was a guy, like, I've been on the secret, you know, Savale sleeper train for a while. And then you dig into his numbers a little bit more, and it's, like, I'll say it over and over again. I say it with Soroka, obviously, all the time. Or Kyle Hendricks or whoever, it's really, really hard when you're getting a lot of your fantasy value out of a low ERA and a 20% strikeout rate. You keep it up. You're running on really thin margins. And, you know, Savali is like that, but he has a couple of really good pitches. And Cleveland has shown in the past that they are very good at getting the most out of young pitchers that have one or two really good pitches. So I'm not betting against them. I hate that his ADP has risen up to, God, what is that, 250 now? But I feel like when I was drafting at, you know, in January, I feel like he was just for free there, closer to 300. And I love him when I can get him there. And honestly, like, at 250, you know, compared to who's getting drafted around him, like, you know, I'll take a chance on him, but 20% strikeout rate is tough, and it's hard to guarantee fantasy value there, but you don't really need to get that much at that sort of draft pick. And if he starts off early in the season and gets shelled, then you boot him right back to the waiver wire and you pick up Jose Quintana and pray.
Pick in that order, pick up Jose Quintana and then pray. Yeah, that's yeah, that hasn't worked out too well for me in the past, but yeah, I mean, you never know.
No.
Right, and then one last guy I want to talk about here. If you look at, again, the full list is available on this article. A lot of people, again, looking for those younger pitchers. A lot of people don't want to take a chance on those older guys like Dallas Keuchel. Mike Minor, I guess he's technically not that old, but he's definitely not a young up-and-coming pitcher. What do you say about guys who had career years like Minor and then Ryu, who, if it wasn't for that DeGrom guy, had been a Cy Young winner. And it shows that they did overachieve Ryu by a run and a half, and then Minor a little less, but still close to run. A lot of people are just assuming regression, right? And they, of course, it's pretty safe to assume they won't do what they did last year, but how much do you fade that guy, and how much do you read into they overachieved? You know what I mean? And how do you read that? Because we clearly know that they're not going to do what they did last year, but at what point are they falling too far? And we're saying, look, these are quality pitchers and they have always been, you know, good pitchers, but both of them have had, you know, health issues, especially Minor. And so at, you know, what point do you say, look, let's stop with the whole overachieving thing and take a chance on a really good pitcher being, you know, mid-rotation guy as opposed to a guy like Gallon?
Yeah, I like Minor at his draft price. I think that, you know, what is 173 now. I've seen him drop quite a bit further than that. You know, like you said, given his long history, like, I think people, you know, people that aren't as old as me probably, you know, Mike Minor was a top prospect for a long time and had nasty stuff and just injury after injury, and has resurfaced now. And like you said, I generally don't like buying guys off coming off of career years, but Minor, I like that draft price. I think he doesn't have a lot of skills that Sierra loves. His ground ball rate is not great, but his strikeout rate is not great, but it's not 20%. Like, you know, it's 23-24%. That I can live with. You don't like to project wins, but I like the Rangers probably as much as anyone, and I think they're always going to have a lot of offense. So, yeah, I like him. He's especially the way I've been drafting this year, just getting an ace and one other pretty decent guy, and then grabbing a lot of my pitching starter wise towards the end of drafts. Like, I've ended up with some minor. Ryu, I don't like his draft price as much, but it's still, given what he had, what kind of year he put up last year, like a 144 ADP is pretty decent, considering all the people that are being taken in front of him. And he's not a 2.32 ERA is not coming back, but I mean, the guy's got he doesn't walk anybody. He had a 3.3% walk rate and like a 50% ground ball rate. So those are a couple things Sierra is going to love. And the strikeout rate isn't phenomenal, but it's still 23-24%. The problem with Ryu is one, and this will, this might get changed a little with, if we see divisional realignments, is that he went to the AL East, which, as we talked about, is a meat grinder, and it's going to take its pound of flesh. And he's moving to a more hitter-friendly ballpark in Toronto, and he's the ace of their staff, and he's going to get lined up against a lot of other aces, including Boston's Eduardo Rodriguez, as we already mentioned. But the problem with Ryu is, how many good innings are you going to get out of Ryu? Like, last year the wheels fell off, and it's kind of, he's like a lesser Charlie Morton, before Charlie Morton just decided to start, pitching a whole mess of innings every year. It's like, I like Ryu, but am I going to get 150 really good innings and 30 really bad innings? Or am I going to get like 120 really good innings and an injury, or 30 really bad innings? And that's like, the starter's durability there is in question. But once again, his draft price, I think, is pretty reasonable. I don't know what, it's 144. I don't know what, off the top of my head, what starting pitcher that makes him. But as heavy as pitching has been going, like, there's a lot of question mark pitchers going ahead of him. Like, I mean, depending on how my staff was at the time, if it was solid enough that I could take the risk of Gallen, I guess I'd take him over Ryu, but I'd rather have Ryu. But I understand hesitation. Like, I don't like paying for guys' career years, but I like his stuff. His strikeout rate is low, but man, he's one of those guys. It's like you turn on, he doesn't go very many innings, but man, some games he'll just rack up a whole match. I like we mentioned, I'm a big points league guy, so I'm usually working with like a weekly start limit. And if guys like Ryu have a bad matchup, and I'll just sit him. It's not like Rotor. I'm just, I'm leaving him in there and, taking the accumulation. So Ryu has been a favorite weapon of mine for a couple of years in points league. But so I'll draft him higher there. But yeah, at his price, like, yeah, give me some Ryu. Like, he's a guy that I did not think as many people would be fading him this year as they seem to be.
Yeah, that's surprising, and I get it. I think the main thing is the move to the AL East, like you said, that the park factor, has something to do with it. Of course, the schedule, but it's interesting because now we might have to rethink that given the shift. If there's no home parks, which we don't know, if the divisions get realigned, if all this changes, that kind of softens the blow of that move a little bit. And we don't really have to worry about the innings limit, you know, quite so much. I mean, he should be able to hold up over half a season. So that's the thing. He's starting to look a lot more appealing when you take away those little negative factors. But as far as minor, like you said, I'm getting a whole lot of minor because I think, I mean, you can't put injury concerns on him too much any more than any other pitcher. He showed he held up over a you know, full season, but also he went deep into games, right? They weren't putting him out there 6 innings, 7 innings. So, I mean, they were working him and he held up. So, you know, to me, I'm definitely targeting him over some of the guys we already mentioned.
That's a good point about the short season helping Ryu. Like, there's a lot of guys like that that, you know, Ryu didn't have, you know, he wasn't going to have an innings limit, but, you know, it's hard to trust him past, you know, 150. And it's same with guys like Lance McCullers Jr. or even Nathan Eovaldi, like we mentioned. Like, you're never going to trust those guys over an entire season to give you 170, 180 innings. But in this compressed sprint of a season, we're likely to have, yeah. And I think that definitely boosts Ryu's value.
Yeah, and so we talked about going with maybe safer pitching this year in the shortened season. I'd say safer in terms of skills, not so much worried about health and innings and things like that, you know, because injuries can happen to anyone, and some of those things maybe are a little off the table now. So, safer, like, repeatable, you know, skills and guys who are going to at least strike out, you know, a lot of batters when they're in the game. You know, maybe they don't go past five innings, but if you can get that every week, you know, that's a lot better than a guy who's going to go five innings, get blown up every third start. You know what I mean? So, but anyways, that was our look at Sierra overachievers. And of course, part two coming out any day now. Also underachievers, which is a whole separate video, which you should be clicking on right after this wraps up, which is going to be right now. Thanks for watching, guys.